Good evening, I'm Christian Esguera, and welcome to this episode of After the Fact, where we get to see things more clearly, where we get a better sense of the truth. Let's begin by dissecting the news. In 1995, the son of the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos was convicted of tax evasion. According to a Quezon City court, Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr. didn't file his income tax returns from 1982 to 1985 and didn't pay the corresponding taxes for that period. He went to the Court of Appeals, which upheld the conviction in 1997, but for some reason, removed the penalty of imprisonment. He then went to the Supreme Court, but withdrew his case shortly afterward. Now, this conviction now haunts Bongbong Marcos, who wants to be the next president of the Philippines. A group of petitioners has asked the Commission on Elections to cancel a certificate of candidacy because to them, Bongbong Marcos Jr. committed multiple false material representations. Plainly, they said, Bongbong Marcos is a convicted criminal. Tonight, we are joined by former Supreme Court Senior Associate Justice Antonio Carpio on whether Marcos should not be allowed to run in next year's presidential election because of his conviction over tax evasion. Now, be part of our discussion. Send us your questions and comments on our YouTube live chat or tweet us using the hashtag ANCAfterTheFact. Good evening, Justice Carpio, and thank you for joining us again on the program.
Good evening, Christian. Thank you for inviting me to your program.
Okay, you wrote two very interesting columns at the Philippine Daily Inquirer about this a petition to have the COC of Bongbong Marcos for president canceled. Okay, let's go straight to the point. Should the Commission on Elections cancel his COC, meaning prevent him from running for president because of that conviction? So basically, he is a tax evader.
Yes, my answer to that question is yes, he should be disqualified because it's very clear. There are two provisions of law that will support this disqualification. You have a Section 12 of the Omnibus Election Code, which says if you have been convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude, you're disqualified. And tax evasion involves moral turpitude. Also, there's another provision separate, the tax code. 253C of the tax code says if you're a public officer, you violated any provision of the tax code, you will be removed from office, you are perpetually disqualified to run for public office, you cannot vote and be voted for, period.
Okay.
So he will fall under these two provisions.
But even if, let's say, the moral turpitude aspect is not proven or not established, you can still go after him to prevent his candidacy using the violation of the tax code.
Is that correct? These are two independent, separate grounds. One is sufficient. If the other doesn't apply, the other can apply.
Okay. Let's focus first on the moral turpitude. What basically does that mean? And who establishes that?
Well, moral turpitude is, broadly, it's an act that is contrary to integrity, honesty, good morals, and good conduct. And the Supreme Court said, ultimately, whether it's moral turpitude or not, it's for the Supreme Court to decide. Sinabi nila yan. So it's the Supreme Court. It's a very broad definition. Anything that is contrary to good morals, contrary to integrity, to honesty. So, crime can be committed, and even if you are just fined, that can also involve moral turpitude. The Supreme Court, it does not matter that it's just a fine.
Okay. Well, when Bongbong Marcos was convicted in 1995, and that conviction by the Quezon City RTC was upheld by the Court of Appeals, did the Supreme Court already reach that determination that that crime of tax evasion in his particular case constituted moral turpitude?
Well, when the after the CA issued its decision, Marcos Jr. went to the Supreme Court to appeal. But before he could finalize his appeal, he withdrew.
Okay.
So when he withdrew, the decision of the Court of Appeals became final and executory. So the Supreme Court did not have a chance in this case to say whether it's moral turpitude or not. So we have to look at the other cases. And we have to look at what the Supreme Court said. In the end, we decide whether it's moral turpitude or not. So this will have to go back to the Supreme Court if the issue of moral turpitude is raised. And if the court, COMELEC, says there is no moral turpitude, the opposite party will go to the Supreme Court. It's the Supreme Court that will decide. Ultimately. And if COMELEC will say there is moral turpitude, bong bong will go up and the Supreme Court will decide. So on the issue of moral turpitude, it goes to the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court said whether it's moral turpitude or not, it will be the Supreme Court that will decide.
Is that a case-to-case determination? Or...
Yes, because the moral turpitude, as the court said, depends on the circumstances surrounding the violation. And in this case, because the violation happened only in 1 year, 85, because the laws took effect only in January 1986. But you have to look at the surrounding circumstances, and that would include the failure from 82, 83, 84 to file ITR. That's the meaning of that. That's why this will reach the Supreme Court.
But for a reasonable person, should that constitute moral turpitude? Let's say you're not exactly, in the case of Bongbong Marcos, he's not destitute, right? He's the son of the late dictator. The family's rich. She was a governor and vice governor before. And then he didn't pay taxes as determined in court during that period, 1982 to 1985. So any reasonable person, you think, may or can conclude that there was moral turpitude?
You know, if this happened to an ordinary person, he did not file from 82 to 85, he would be sentenced to 3 years for each count. Because he is Bongbong Marcos, they reduced the penalty to only a fine. That's how it happened. Because the trial court said, I'm sentencing you to 3 years imprisonment on each of two counts. Because he is Bongbong, the Court of Appeals gave him a pass.
So that's what happened there? Because that is quite unusual. I was supposed to ask you that. Is that usual?
It's very unusual. The way I said, it's inexplicable for the Court of Appeals to reduce the penalty without explanation. It did not explain why it was reducing it. And yet the law says you will pay a fine and imprisonment. So it's mandatory. Because he is Bongbong Marcos. And that's why I'm saying, if you are an ordinary person, you will be fined and you will be imprisoned.
So the letter of the law is quite clear. It's mandatory, fine and imprisonment.
Yeah, it's when the law says the penalty shall be fine and imprisonment, it has always been interpreted that is mandatory. There must be imprisonment if it says and.
Okay. Now, my next question is, why would Bongbong Marcos go up to the Supreme Court if he already got a pass at the Court of Appeals and he was only asked to pay the fine?
Well, I think what the lawyer did was to play it safe. When the decision came out, just to preserve the right to appeal, they filed. And then they studied the case, whether they should continue, because there is a principle. In a criminal case, if you appeal to the Supreme Court, the entire case is reviewed. In other words, the penalty could go up.
Okay.
So they had to assess this and they said, we're better off just being fined, because this error of the Court of Appeals could be corrected.
But
they withdrew.
Would you know if Bongbong Marcos paid the fine?
I've been trying to find out, and so far, the Quezon City RTC has not found the folder. And we really don't know whether he has paid a fine or not. And he has not said that he has paid a fine. So he must state. We still haven't found the record that he paid.
Okay, again, for the clarification of our viewers, we're still talking of one of two grounds, right? The moral turpitude ground. We're not yet talking about the violation of the tax code, okay. But in this case, in the case of that violation of the Omnibus Election Code, which requires a crime that was committed involving moral turpitude, can Bongbong Marcos also argue now that why should I be disqualified or prevented from running in the 2022 presidential election if I had paid the fine and there was no jail sentence based on the Court of Appeals decision?
Because even if you serve your sentence, if you are penalized, let's say, for imprisonment of 1 year, even if you have served that, the disqualification is not removed unless expressly stated by law. In this case, if you have been imprisoned for more than 18 months, you are disqualified. But it says after 5 years, the disqualification is lifted. But that is if you have been sentenced to imprisonment. But if you have not been sentenced to imprisonment and the crime is moral turpitude, that provision will not apply. Mm. You will have to follow the general provision that a pardon from the president will erase the disqualification. Only a pardon. And so it's only the president who can allow him to run now if he gets a pardon from the president. That will erase the disqualification.
In this case, there's none of that. Because
there is no pardon. Yeah. As far as I know, the president has not pardoned. We don't know. I mean, there's no record at all.
Okay. Now, another question is, why was he allowed to run for senator and then for vice president in 2016 if there was this this issue that he was a convicted tax evader?
Nobody brought it up. I mean, to tell you frankly, I learned about this only a few weeks ago when I received from one of my Viber groups that actually Marcos Jr. was convicted. So I was surprised. And that's when I started to make some research. So I think nobody brought it up.
So that explains the allegation or accusation of misrepresentation, material misrepresentation in that petition to cancel the COC, because candidates are asked in that questionnaire, right, whether they had been convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude.
Yes, there's a specific question, item 22. Have you ever been convicted of an offense with the accessory penalty of perpetual disqualification, which has become final? And he said no. That's perjury.
Okay. Now, assuming that the Commission on Elections, let's say, decides in favor of Bongbong Marcos, that conviction in 1995, as upheld in 1997, that he was a tax evader, did not constitute moral turpitude, can he also get away with the other violation of the tax code?
Well, the other violation, because it's malum prohibitum, and under the tax code, criminal intent to violate the law is not required because it's malum prohibitum. It just says any violation by a public officer of the tax code will result in his removal from office, perpetual disqualification to hold public office, and he is deprived of the right to vote and to be voted for, period. The only way to get back your political rights to run or to vote is to get a pardon. And there is no pardon. Mm. So the other one, the moral turpitude is for the Supreme Court to decide. Here, it's very clear. You're not talking of moral turpitude. You are just looking at, was there a violation, conviction by final judgment? That's it. And there is conviction by final judgment. Is that it does not say that it has to be imprisonment for 18 months or more. Any violation.
And this will have to be determined initially by the Commission on Elections.
Yes, that's right. You have to bring the case before the COMELEC. And then the COMELEC is mandated under the law to decide this disqualification case at least 15 days before election day. And whoever loses can go to the Supreme Court.
Okay, but does it matter that, assuming that he had indeed paid the fine, does it matter that he did so in the case of Bongbong Marcos to be able to try to convince the Commission on Elections not to deny due course to his COC? by virtue of the second violation, yung sa tax code.
Yeah. Sa tax code, it doesn't matter whether you pay the fine or not. Because even your right to vote and be voted for is taken away from you.
Okay. Now, can the COMELEC also afford not to decide in this case?
Well, the COMELEC is mandated by law. The Omnibus Elections Code says all petitions for disqualification must be decided 15 days before election day. And more or less, they have complied with that in years past.
Okay. So they cannot just allow this particular issue to be overtaken by events.
They cannot. But assuming that there is no decision one way or the other, we have several cases, like the case of Halusos, where Halusos was convicted of robbery, but he still ran. And the disqualification case was not decided before election day. So he got voted. He had the highest number of votes. But the Supreme Court said, when you make a material misrepresentation in your COC, your COC, certificate of candidacy, is void from the very start. Mm-hmm. It is as if you have never been a candidate. All votes cast in your favor are stray. Mm-hmm. So if there are only two candidates, then there's only one who actually ran for public office legitimately. And that's what happened in Halusos. His opponent, there were only two of them running. His opponent was declared the winner because the Supreme Court said there was actually one legal candidate because Halusos was never a valid candidate from the very start because he falsified his COC. Mm-hmm. There was a material misrepresentation in his COC. So it is very important. And this is not the first case. There were several cases after Halusos. Okay. And this is an entrenched doctrine in the Supreme Court already.
Okay, but however clear that doctrine may be, we're still talking here of Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr. Mm-hmm. You know, the scale and the wide reach of his influence. And also, we're talking here of the presidency. If he ends up winning, can you actually expect that to happen for the Supreme Court ultimately or initially by the COMELEC to pursue that doctrine?
Well, I'm always optimistic. In the case of the election protest of Marcos Jr. against Robredo, it took some time. But in the end, the Supreme Court was unanimous that he lost the election. It was a unanimous decision.
Okay. So in this case, the letter of the law is clear. He can be or he should be prevented from running for president because of that tax evasion. It's very clear.
It's very clear. Two provisions, separate provisions of law. Okay. He should be disqualified. And there are several cases already. This okay. case, really, this doctrine started with my decision in Halusos versus COMELEC.
Okay.
That if you falsify your COC, your COC is void from the very start. It is as if that you have not been a candidate. You never filed your certificate of candidacy. You are alien to the election.
Okay. My next question is not exactly legal, but I anticipate some of his supporters might raise this. Why don't you just submit this issue to the sovereign will of the people and let them decide? And number two, well, ang question, didinig na natin ngayon, no? Are you people just afraid of Bongbong Marcos? You don't want him to participate in the elections?
Well, we have laws and we all follow the law. That's the problem. If you set aside the law, where will it end? That kind of argument is saying, forget about the law. What will happen to our country if we forget the law? If you forget the law, forget the Constitution. If forget the Constitution, then there is no term limit. Duterte can run again. Let the people decide. I think that argument is terrible. Mm. I mean, that argument says, don't follow the law. And okay. I think nobody should use that argument because you okay. can apply that to anything.
Okay. Of course, moral turpitude, the concept itself might be too highfalutin, even too alien to a lot of Filipinos, specifically the voters. But in simple terms, why do you think this should matter? Let's say let's take this out of the sphere of the courts, because the decisions were clear, right? 1995, yes. 1997, the Omnibus Election Code and the Tax Code are both clear. But let's say in terms of campaign, why does this issue matter for the ordinary voter?
Well, all we have to do is to look back at our history, recent history. All the presidents who lied, who stole, who killed, that means they were afflicted with moral turpitude. They caused irreparable damage to the nation. So the president of all people, of all government officials, must have good moral character. For me, that's the most important. Because if the president doesn't have good moral character, that means he can justify anything that he does as valid, even if the law says it's void. If you don't have good moral character, you can kill, you can steal, you can lie. Mm. And that's terrible.
And by comparison, a couple of years ago, they removed a sitting Supreme Court justice for the issue was non-filing of SAL-N, supposedly, right? So this one is much graver.
Yeah, that is just non-filing, but this one is non-payment of a tax. And taxes are the lifeblood of the nation. If you are the president and the people do not pay tax, you cannot do anything. Your government cannot run without taxes. Okay. So that's why the reason for this disqualification, it was President Marcos who put this in the law. You government officials must pay your taxes correctly. Otherwise, you will be removed from office. You will be disqualified from running for public office. You cannot vote and be voted for. Why? Because taxes are the lifeblood of a nation. The government cannot run without taxes.
Okay.
And now, that's why he put that there in the law.
Now, speaking of taxes, has the family paid? Have they paid the estate tax?
They have not. As far as I know, they have not. They continue to refuse to pay the estate taxes that have been finally assessed by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said you pay this amount, 23 billion pesos.
203.8 billion.
Well, that's including penalties and interest already. But the original amount, principal sum was 23 billion. But because there's interest of 20% every year, plus penalties, I computed it at about 203 billion pesos already and running. But they have not paid it. If they paid it, they should have announced to the world, we paid everything. So this, and Bongbong Marcos Jr. is the executor of the estate. The executor of the estate is the person appointed by the, he's a court-appointed executor. So he is the person who should gather all the assets of Marcos and pay all the debts, including taxes, before the assets of Marcos can be distributed to the heirs. They cannot get a single centavo without paying the tax. So they cannot put any property in their name unless they pay the estate tax, because the priority in payment is the government, taxes, number one priority. So, but they can spend billions in an election. Where are they getting the money?
Okay. Former Supreme Court Senior Associate Justice Antonio Carpio, thank you very much for joining us on this program, sir.
Thank you, Christian. Thank you for having me.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break after the fact. We'll be right back.